ready to wake up, you're going to wake up. And if you're not ready, you're going to stay pretending that you're just a little, poor little me.
Soldiers, don't fight for slavery, fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power.
The world is like a ride at an amusement park. And when you choose to go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are.
Everybody is I. You all know you are you. And wheresoever beings exist throughout all galaxies, it doesn't make any difference. You are all of them. And when they come into being, that's you coming into being.
How's it going, everyone? So in this one today, I wanted to speak about the topic of fitting back into society after a spiritual awakening. As you know, this is a common thing that we kind of have to adapt to on many different occasions as we're going through our awakening process. But before I dive in with that, I just wanted to slightly quickly mention that I've set up a UK hangout at the end of March. So in the past, when I've set up these UK hangouts, we've normally obviously like selected a certain space to meet up, and we've kind of like camped out and had a campfire and stuff. But in the past, there's been a few occasions where it's kind of, we've had a fire, for example, and we've been moved on. So me and Laura have decided to set up a kind of a weekend event with accommodation and also meals included as well, so we can have a safe space where we're not going to be interrupted and bothered. So space obviously is going to be very limited. I'm going to try and keep the group and the energy quite compact, and not kind of like have a lot of people, makes it even more sacred. But also, I just wanted to mention that with the nature of kind of not doing this type of thing before, you know, we've run a retreat, but we haven't run kind of like a weekend hangout. The event space is obviously going to be quite costly. So initially, what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up the space for people to leave a deposit. And if I'm going to leave it open for 2 weeks, and if enough people within the 2 weeks don't obviously leave a deposit, then obviously I know that there's obviously this is not something that's obviously wanted by people, you know. So I'm going to leave it open for 2 weeks, and if like we haven't received kind of enough deposits and enough interaction on this and enough interest, people who'd pay a deposit will just be given it back straight away. So I just wanted to be completely open and transparent about that's what's going to go down. So if you're interested, there'll be a link in the description, or reach out to me and I'll give you some more information anyway. So anyway, I wanted to speak about the topic of fitting back into society after a spiritual awakening. Like I said before, this is a really big one. It's one that a lot of us, and I've found myself stumbling through quite a lot of times, and it can be very tricky to navigate, you know, and I would probably say good luck, because what I've kind of tend to find with in the journey of like working towards yourself, or working into what to activate more truth inside yourself, it can be quite tricky to navigate the seas of like being in the modern day society. You know, there's times where you get stretched so far out, and then obviously, you know, you have to kind of maybe you have to work a 9-to-5 job, which I've had examples of. Like, for example, there was one, just to briefly touch on it, where I had this big kind of experience where I was doing a lot of emotional work and I was diving into some deep metaphysical shit. And then the next day I had to call in sick at work. And then I can remember the next day, like the night prior, I was doing all this deep work and like literally fighting metaphysical demons, and blasting the energy all over the place. And then the next morning I was sitting in a waiting room for a mental health person to come and do a talk with us. So like kind of the contrast between like me like diving deep within my shadow, then the next day kind of having like a conversation with a surface level mental health practitioner trying to worry if I'm going to commit suicide or if I'm okay or something. So I thought that was quite funny at the time. And like kind of like, you know, there's been other occurrences where you'll be having these big metaphysical experiences, and then you have to go and work your 9-to-5 job, and them transitions can be tough at times, and it can be also bring a lot of, you know, funny introspection. But as you know, a lot of the time when we are doing a lot of this deep work, you know, a lot of the time, you know, through that period we can feel quite very cracked open, you know. Like I've had really times where I've been really stretched out. You know, I've been stretched out to the point of insanity sometimes. You know, like I felt that threshold within my own self, like the point of threshold, if you want to call it that. But there's a lot of time where obviously you are going to be very hypersensitive through that process, through, like, you know, as you kind of like working your way back to your own edge. You know, you not only kind of are you evolving like physically, but you're also evolving spiritually, you know. So your senses are obviously on hyperdrive, so you're able to feel and be reactive to things that are underneath the material. And it can be very challenging to kind of integrate that into the mundane world. You know, for example, if you're walking around in society and you're hypersensitive to people's emotions or feelings, and you're feeling negativity and you can feel that in your body, which I've felt a few times, you can be walking down the street, you know, and you can hear people's thoughts, or you can feel people's emotions. And it can be a tough one to integrate, to say the least. You know, like, for example, you know, you're feeling what your boss thinks about you or something, or you're feeling what your best friend thinks about you. And you kind of like got to try and integrate that and understand what's yours versus not yours. It can be a tough thing, you know. But as you know, like, as you start going through that process, sometimes you find there's this period where you feel like naturally you've got to try and distance yourself from people, which is, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I found myself on many occasions having to kind of distance myself from society to some degree. And it's a fundamental part of the journey, as we all know, you know, where, like, for example, your soul is constantly being stretched out. The only way I can describe this is, like, when we are going through this process, it's like the only way I can describe it is like a kaleidoscope. So if you've seen a kaleidoscope where you can see like many different shards of different things, and the kaleidoscope can obviously be, it can focus in, it can focus out, and you kind of like turn it. And the only way I can describe kind of like this level of awakening is where, like, kind of where your level of sight kind of is like that kaleidoscope, you know, where you're kind of like your emotions and your sensitivity is kind of like going in and out, kind of thing. And obviously it's just kind of like the empathic nature of the spiritual awakening, where you're going through this period where you're kind of like, you know, you're in a place of hypersensitivity versus not, you know. And obviously I think the same transition, as you know, when you're like, it's like a fundamental part of the awakening where you kind of like, you know, you're starting to be a good person, then you like drop back in your same habits, like a place of ego, and then no ego. And it's kind of like all these different reactive states within inside of the self are like moving in between these places. And obviously then you kind of like, in society is kind of that bridge to some degree as well, you know, like when you're off doing all this metaphysical work, then you've got to bridge the gap and integrate back into mundane life. Like I said before, you've got to go back to work, or you've got to go back to your family, or whatever it may be. And there's this kind of like important stage of that integration, which is fundamental to the journey, which can be very, you know, can be easier said than done. And there's times where, you know, I've, like I said before, I've been so cracked open that I haven't been able to kind of fully bridge that gap, you know. And in course with that as well, there's like which I've learned that, you know, when you like, if you want to use this word, I don't know if it's the right word, but when you're kind of like being more reactive and you're altering your frequency to some degree, and you're trying to find your way back to your soul, you know, like you do start feeling how the world around us, like there is a frequency that's being pushed out by society that's quite heavy, you know, and that is a burden on your soul. And then when you kind of like interact with it, it can be unbearable at times, you know, that there's no doubt about that. And there's times where you want to kind of pull away from society. Like I said before, I found that on many different times. You know, we always hear about, you know, the hero's journey, where, for example, like the story of Jesus, the story of Buddha, the story of all these different esoteric teachers who find times in their life to remove themselves from society or civilization to give their self time to think and feel things out. And the stories like where people go off to the woods and stuff, you know, like there's times where I remember one point in my life where I was doing wild camps. Like, so I would go off in the UK and I would take myself off in the woods and I just wouldn't see anyone for 2 days, and I'd go by myself. I wouldn't take my mobile phone. And I think sometimes it's good to take yourself off through that process, you know, like Terence McKenna as well. I don't know if you remember his quote, but he says, Terence McKenna says, the cost of sanity in society is a certain level of alienation. You know, so there is an important process to kind of, you know, taking yourself away. But eventually, as you all know, you kind of get to this point where you do have to eventually re-enter society. You know, you do have to re-enter the real world, if you want to call it that. Even though I wouldn't call it the real world, but you have to kind of, you know what I mean? You kind of have to like re-enter society. the world to some degree and try and like figure that out. But I will say that what I've tend to come across into truth with is that, especially when it comes to like the spirituality community, I always kind of find that like there's a lot of like kind of surface level content out there that kind of, they're always kind of like reiterating the same thing over and over again, yeah. And I find like they're always trying to get you to this equilibrium state where they're like, these false promises that there's going to be this equilibrium state with the awakening, that you're going to get to this point where you're going to have all the manifestations, you're going to have everything you want, you're going to be abundant, I'm going to be abundant. And I'm not saying that's not a state, but what I'm saying is that the state is always constantly changing, you know, we're always going through a metamorphosis. And what the point that I'm at my journey, I've always found that, like, you know, you get to one stage of the awakening, then you get cracked open again. Then you get to another stage and you get cracked open again. You know, the more that you dive into your shadow, the more that you dive into your emotions, you find that the layers are infinite, you know. And there's never this plateau point, in my opinion. You might have moments where like everything feels bliss and good, but then again there'll be something else that'll crack you open again. It's like the nature of the universe, how it works, you know. It's like how the law of attraction is always turning up for us, you know, like God, if you want to use that word, is subtly, you know, moving us in a direction to a greater condition of love, and it's doing it in a way where it's turning up for us every single day subtly, and it's through them subtle interactions that are slowly moving towards the crack, to crack us open again, you know, to find greater love, to move into a greater state of consciousness, if you want to use that word, you know. But I think as well that you know what I find as well, I think sometimes the more that you soften to them experiences, and the more you soften to the nature of this place and understand what it truly is, you know, the mundane stuff no longer can bother you, you know. So that's a kind of a good interaction with the spirituality journey that you can find, is that, because a lot of the time, like, you know, a lot of the, you know, the mundane stuff in reality kind of bothers us to some degrees, you know. Like most people in our lives, we're always kind of worrying about the minutiae. You know, like the 9-to-5 job and stuff like that. But once you've like gone through enough of these experiences of being cracked open and like understanding the deeper nature of this place and the deeper nature of yourself and why you're truly here, you know, you're here to learn, you know, the Western world or society around you no longer can have the same kind of hooks as it used to, you know. So you can kind of go back into them spaces and laugh at them to some degree, or kind of like not allow them to have the same kind of manipulation over you that they would have in the past. So that's one of the big things that I feel that it does, you know. And I feel in a way that like I said before, you know, the more that you kind of like the more that you start to realize that you're always unfolding, there's never going to be this kind of pivotal point. I think as well it starts to allow you to realize that the true nature of a kind of a spiritual awakening, if you want to use that word, is to understand human nature better, you know, like is to understand the human condition better. Because I kind of find that every single time that I go through this like cracking open period, if you want to call it that, and like I say, it can be very challenging, you know, like you do want to distance yourself from people at times, but as you kind of like move back into the societal space, if you want to use that word, you can, like, it gives you, it does give you a better, more empathic understanding of the human condition, you know. You start looking back at your journey, where you've come from and how you used to like mess around and fuck up and do certain stuff, and you can start understanding and seeing them patterns and behaviors and people, and how, you know, that it's not truly them, how they're operating, you know. It's like it's conditioning, it's layers, it's trauma, it's things behind them. So you can kind of start understanding the human condition better. And also through that lens, which I find is like, you know, Monday society is no better landscape, in my opinion, to kind of, you know, to allow the lessons to turn up, you know, like, especially if you're in like a 9-to-5 job or whatever it may be, you know, them lessons are all around you, like in the shape of your boss saying something to you, triggering something within you. So the Monday world, you just got to walk down a busy town center, you know. And like, I remember when I was going through a Kundalini awakening once, I was like really in the heat of it. And this is probably not the best place to be within a Kundalini awakening, but like I say again, you know, what is the best place to be in? You know, you're in the spot where you're meant to be at the time. As you know, your law of attraction's creating you into that place where you're meant to be. And I was sitting in like a London town centre, and I can remember just like being in an environment, like a very businessy environment, where people were walking around us with like briefcases and stuff, and suits on, and like, you know, that a very fast-paced environment where people's like got one thing on the mind. It's all about kind of like making money. And I was like in the heart of this town center, And I was like tuning into everyone's thoughts and feelings, and like, and I started tuning in and understand that how everyone else is just the same as you, you know, but they're just living out different lives. So like Monday society can provide, if we look at it this way, it can provide this canvas where you can, you know, you can tune in to some degree and also mirror certain aspects within you that are out there in the world around us, you know. And I think to some degree, you know, every interaction, you know, no matter how small or mundane it is, you know, is a chance for the law of attraction, like I said before, for you to be healed. You know, the law of attraction is turning up for us, and it's showing us certain things so that we can move closer back to the heart. And that's the way that the universe is set up to some degree, you know. It's with you at the heart of it. And this is what a lot of people don't kind of, you know, like there is this kind of modern understanding, if you want to call it that, you know, when we look around at the world, where, you know, we have this kind of spiel there's this frequency that's pumped out in the universe, as you all know, that you know you're not special, you're on a spinning ball flying through space at a million miles an hour, and you know you're not special, you know. Yeah, there's like, you know, there's nothing, like, give all the money to NASA, there's like so much out here, you know, there's nothing, we haven't found anything yet, but you're insignificant, keep getting on with what you're doing. But what the truth that I've come into is the more you kind of dive into your own truth and you dive into your own core and you get closer to yourself, you start realizing that, you know, you are at the heart of it, you know, you are more special than you've been led to believe. And this is why this shit's not talked about, you know. It's because I find, like, you know, this is why the, you know, people talk about all the big, a lot of people like gurus speak about all the big metaphysical stuff, but really when you dive into your emotions, you actually start unlocking them bigger metaphysical stuff. And what you start realizing that you are the center of it, and your emotions are the dictator of your reality, the dictator of where you can expand your consciousness into. And it's through the access of that, of them states and that places, that actually, you know, give you that deeper fundamental understanding that you are more special than you've been led to believe. And it's you who is, you know, you do have free will and free range to do in whatever you need to do, in whatever you need to activate on a more metaphysical level, if that makes sense. And, you know, it's hard to sometimes really explain these things, but when you do go to your core, you know, you know what it's all about, you know why you're here, you know, like, if you know, you know, you know. But from the outside of things, you know, we just think that this world is physically solid, this is all it is, there's nothing more to it. But as you start unraveling and getting deeper to your core, you start realizing that, you know, you are the center of this, and you do have, you know, you do dictate, you know, where you're going when you leave here, and you also dictate what's turning up for you in your life now. And that's more empowering, in my opinion. You know, it's more empowering than that. There's a force outside of you that's governing everything. You know, there is forces outside of us that are governing certain things, but fundamentally, you know, we play a huge fundamental role in that, and we're the center of this thing, you know. And it's all about, through working on that, on our soul condition, that we kind of, like, which is the key to that, you know. And I think the why it's set up, like the world set up in which it is because it's set up in a way so that we can understand love, you know, better. And I know that's kind of cliche, you know, it's all about love, but it truly is, you know, like, you know, and through that lens, how we can kind of understand that biofeedback within our lives, where we're going wrong. Because what you can actually start feeling on the journey, as you start developing yourself more and more, you start realizing that there is this instant biofeedback within the soul. You know, just for example, like, for example, one of the things that I've been understanding is that, say, for example, if I carry out an act of sin, you know, if I carry out something that's wrong to someone, or I treat someone in a bad way, this starts to become an instant, like, biofeedback reaction within your soul, which your soul's telling you that, you know, you shouldn't be doing this, this is out of balance, and you feel it on an emotional level. And I think this whether we see it or not, whether we can instantly feel it on our journeys wherever we are now, you know, just because you can't feel it now doesn't mean it's not going on. Because to try and bridge it out further, you know, this biofeedback's going on all the time, you know, like, it comes in the form of depression, you know, it comes in the form of a sickness, it becomes in the form of, like the same relationships turning up. You know, you get the point what I'm trying to make is that this biofeedback's always there. It's just like, for example, when you have a sickness in the body, you know, that you might kind of like get a sty or something, or you might get which I had one the other day, you know, or you might get like an ache in the body or something, or you might get a cold or something. But then eventually, if you kind of don't acknowledge that, if you don't change the emotion that's causing that thing, it eventually becomes a much more denser disease or something, you know, or eventually it could be even something worse, you know. So the way that the information's turning up for us and through us at all times, it's trying to nudge us and tell us and move us into a state of greater soul condition. But obviously a lot of the time, you know, we ignore it, we numb it out, we take pills, you get the point, you know. And it's through that kind of like working towards and understanding that communication that you can feel it more instantly on a more instant, at a more instant rate. So like I said before, there's times where as you become more tuned with it, you can instantly carry out an act and you can feel it more on an energy level, much, much quicker. And, you know, I fully believe that, you know, when we kind of, you know, when we cross over and we leave these physical forms, you know, that that in the spirit realm, you know, that communication that we have with our soul is going to be more instant. You know, you're going to be able to not only feel it, but you're going to be able to see the condition of your soul change. And it's only just because we're involved in these physical forms that we don't get to see that instant thing, you know, because we're like, our meat suits cover our soul to some degree, you know, like, and, you know, like our exterior covers up the deeper essence of who we are. But underneath that, the soul is kind of reactive, and it's like, it's affecting your soul condition through your interactions with the world and with yourself too. But you can, if you become more sensitive to it, you know, you can start kind of like feeling that, you know. And also as well, one of the things I've learned is that you can also start understanding, for example, say if you have like a pain in your body, say for example if you've you have a pain in your left hand side of your body, it's to do with the feminine side of yourself. So for example, the feminine side could be out of balance. If it's to do with the right hand side of your body, it's to do with the masculine side. So that was something that interesting that I started to use, how you can start understanding how the different emotions are also speaking through the different hemispheres within your body. Also as well, like one of the things that I've started to realize was how also you can start feeling it through your chakras too as well. So for example, the other week, me and Laura were working on something, and Laura was kind of, she wasn't in a, we were like working on something to do with our relationship, and she wasn't speaking her truth in this moment. And I could actually feel her throat chakra. You know, the throat chakra is linked with like speaking your truth. And I could feel my throat chakra activated, because through the process, you know, being connected to her, how, and also she could feel it in her throat chakra too. So, you know, I felt this on a few occasions with in a few different circumstances. It's starting to come more active in me now. But on many occasions, I felt it more so on my own self, for example. So if I'm not speaking my truth, I've felt my chakra kind of, you know, like it feels like it could feel like an itch. It could feel like a tinge, if you want to call that word. But the more you get connected with it, you start completely, you know, embodying and understanding what it may be. You know, you might feel it in your gut, whatever chakra within the, or energy center, whatever you want to call it, is active. You can start feeling it through how you're operating at that time, the more that you become sensitive to it, you know. But on the surface, it might just, you know, your intuition will guide you through it, you know. Like I say, once you know, but initially it might just feel, like I said before, might feel something doesn't feel right, you know, like your intuition is telling you something is right. But the more you become sensitive to it, you'll be able to dish completely, like, understand truly, like, what it is trying to tell you. You know, like, if you know, you know, you know. So to some people, that's not going to mean anything. You're going to think it's bullshit, but that's truly what you can feel. And I think it's interesting because, you know, when you start coming into truth of how like the universe and how God is operating like this, you know, like I say, it's very empowering, but it also can be very challenging, because one of the things that I've tried to be understanding and open to is that, you know, whatever, be like, to have kind of like an openness to that, you know, whatever is turning up for you, whatever God's trying to bring into your life, or whatever God's showing up for you in your, through your manifestation, no matter how it looks, be open to it. And sometimes that can be very, very challenging, because it's like one of the ones that I've been working on is like, when you fully embody that and you fully embody that and you leave yourself completely open to anything that's going to turn up, that's just going to be all about your ascension and evolving yourself. Sometimes it can be like, can bring a lot of fear, you know, you're like, oh, I wonder what's going to turn up then, you know, because for example, like when I had that spiritual attack, you know, I know that, that was, now looking back on that, at the time that was so traumatic, it was like, it was very scary, it was frightening, there was a lot of fear involved. But now looking back, I can see what that was doing for us and what it, how it's much has evolved us, how it's took us to the next level. So it's easier said than done, but if we do have that perspective where you can move into that space where no matter what's turning up for you, it is for you, you know, it's a very powerful thing, you know, and leave yourself open that no matter what it, how, whatever shape or form it turns up, no matter how scary or frightening it is, it can be, it can definitely be a massive thing and you know, and help you on your journey. So something I think is really important to mention, something I've been thinking about and asking myself my own question is, how can I, you know, live life and experience as our soul, you know, like not kind of live my life as my exterior or who I think I am or the conditioning or my beliefs that I have. How can I live life from my soul? And I think to do that, first and foremost, you've got to try and tap in and understand, you know, what this is, the current level of soul that you're at now, you know, and it can be kind of scary to do that. There's something, you know, there's a process where you can ask yourself it on a daily basis, you know, you can start become more observant of your soul condition through how you treat people, where your triggers are, your traumas are, and by just sometimes asking, you know, God or the universe that question, you know, what is my current soul condition? And obviously the universe or God will start showing you, you know, and you'll start being able to understand and be reactive and feel where you're at. Also, another good thing you can do is looking at yourself in the mirror. You know, there's an eye gazing process where you can look at yourself in the mirror. And if you truly connect with it, you can ask God to ask yourself to look at your own soul condition. And obviously, generally, you know, like, not to try and give you the sense and the feeling that it's going to feel, but a lot of occasions, to my understanding, is that, you know, if you are darker, obviously your soul condition's lower, and if you're lighter, your soul condition's higher. So that's an interesting process that you can tap into, you know. So there's a lot of you know, beliefs, traumas, and many other things in our lives that have kind of, you know, they've kind of like blocked us from that true connection to our soul to some degree. But at the end of the day, underneath that, you know, regardless wherever we are in our journeys, you know, whatever, like, whatever soul condition we're at, no matter what position we are in our lives, you know, underneath that, we're still a soul, you know, even though we have all this exterior, the meat suit, we're still a soul. Even though, like, if our souls are shrunk down, which we've all been shrunk down, you know, we get a chance to recover it, you know, and bring it forward and bring it more in its light. And that's to do that, as you know, you have to start connecting and removing a lot of these blockages. And that's what I said before, like, how, you know, God's law of attraction is always trying to show us where we're out of harmony with love. And that's why at times it can feel quite scary, because the way that the universe is operating is it's trying to destroy, you know, them desires and them things that are completely out of harmony with love. So that's why it can be quite challenging, you know, because we don't know what kind of form, shape or form it's going to turn up in our lives, you know. But ultimately, it's obviously to help us, you know, it's help us to get to that state of place where we can kind of recover our soul, you know. And like I said, it, you know, obviously can be scary, but what I've kind of found is that a lot of the time, the universe or God, whatever you want to call it, it is kind of turning up in a way with these little increments, if you want to use that word, to prepare us for this, you know. Like, if we all look at our own lives, we can see how little threads of information is coming into our soul, you know. We can see how it's turning up in the physical for us. It's always there, you know, and it's turning up in little increments, trying to nudge us, you know, to recover them deeper parts of ourselves. So anyway, that's all I want to say anyway. Hope you're having a great day. And I'll catch you in the next one, whatever that is. I think I'm going to do a live in about maybe 3 or 4 days' time, so keep an eye out for that. I've got some other topics I want to talk about, but I just thought it was kind of interesting to follow on from the thread of last week and just kind of expand on some other concepts and questions that other people had. So anyway, I hope that makes sense. I hope I give you a bit more clarity there, and I'll catch you in the next one, whenever that is. Big love.
Here comes a story of a hurricane and a temple lost like crying tears in rain. No love is lost or no sweet wisdom gained. So save your tears, then save yourself the shame. Oh, cyclone. Step outside, I could taste in the air a familiar sense of pride. And the wind did blow as you held your head up high. Then I saw the clouds draw storms into your eyes. Oh, cyclone. Said I'm breaking bones, out in the fire, won't leave it alone. It was bent and I was unable to pull them inside. So bend down them bridges, dig up them walls. What's that you got? Cause I'll have one of those. Darcy, I can never hate ya if I try. Cyclone.
Thank you.
Cheers. Cheers, bye.